Joshua chapter 1, and I'll read to you a couple verses, and then we'll get right into our lesson this morning. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, in verse number 1, Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give thee, to them even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. For the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. And if you could turn to me, turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 29. Joshua chapter 24, and verse number 29. Joshua chapter 24, and verse 29. The Bible says, And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-serah, which is in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. We see a great man of God that learned from a man of God, and because of that, the nation was blessed because of his living for God. And I want to give you a help this morning on the qualities of a godly man, Joshua. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the word of God that we can read it. Thank you that we can be allowed to carry it. Lord, thank you for this great nation. Lord, thank you for all that you've done for us. We pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, help us to leave here encouraged. Help us to leave here blessed because of the Word of God, because of the Holy Spirit working within us. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to go out from this place, not just with a blessing, but Lord, an encouragement to help others, an encouragement to share the gospel with others. Lord, not just to keep it to ourselves, Lord, but to give it to a lost and dying world. Lord, thank you for this example that you've given us in your Word, Joshua. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love to hear and read about men of God that in history have stayed by the stuff, that have not turned from the world, that have turned from the world and have decided to do what's right and to live for what's right, even in the day of adversity. We live in a strange land. We live in a land that does not embrace anything that our Bible holds true. And I know we get a lot of criticism out in California, but I think it's our nation that is turning away from God. And it's encouraging to see that when a time and a day and age when someone like Joshua could have easily just given in, when everybody was saying, it can't be done. You can't cross this river. You can't build this wall. What are you doing? He turned to all of those men and all those ladies and said, you know what? It can be done. And I believe even in a day, in a society that we live in today where the world and the standards are way below God's, that we can even live right and do what's right. And Joshua is a perfect example where everyone else around him was doing wrong. Everyone else around him was not following the same path. It's easy for us to serve God inside these walls. It's easy for us to carry our Bible inside this classroom. It's easy for us to open up the Word and read it aloud, but when we go out into the highways and hedges, when we go out into the world, it gets a little bit more difficult. We have to take a little bit of stand when we hear someone use God's name in vain. It takes a little bit more of a stand when we hear the Word of God's being blasphemed across our nation's networks. Joshua was willing to stand. He was not willing to give in to the world and give in to the society in that day and age. He was willing to stand. It encourages me to see men of God do this. We see that Jesus took a stand for what was right. When everybody rebuked him, laughed at him, mocked him, he was still willing to go to the cross. Imagine your own brother or sister your best friend turning on you. They did that to Jesus. They turned him in. And here it is, Jesus still stood for what was right and what needed to be done. We obviously have to give God the credit for what he did in Joshua's life through the River Jordan and also Jericho and the sun and moon standing still. But we also have to give credit to Joshua for being willing to have the faith that was needed so that those miracles can happen. Young men, are you willing to stand? Young ladies, are you willing to stand? Moms, dads, are you willing to stand? Grandma, grandpa, are you willing to stand? Joshua is willing to stand. Joshua stood before us as an example. And hopefully, when we lay in a casket, our lives can be an example just as Joshua's was. The leadership qualities of Joshua, first of all, we see a man of humility. This man was humble. He was not willing that everybody, he didn't want his name on the billboard. He didn't want his name in lights. He was willing to stay back and watch the nursery. He was willing to get behind a bus and drive a bus. I'm missing it this morning. Every Sunday morning, I get out there, I drive a bus for our college routes, and I'm missing it this morning. But you know, it's exciting to see men of God and women of God that are willing to serve, not in the limelight, not get their name out on the board and mentioned behind the pulpit every week, but are willing to take up the offering and fix the songbooks and vacuum and clean the restrooms and wash the nurseries. This was a man of humility. Before he was a leader, he was willing to serve. He didn't say, Moses, you know, about that raise you owe me? You know, I really want that title. You know, do you have a special tag that says, you know, follower of Moses? You know, right-hand man. He didn't ask for that. He said, what do you need, Moses? He said, Pastor, what do you need? Do you need me to help clean the buses? I can do that. Do you need help serving a Sunday school class? Pastor, I can do that. Do you need help maybe fixing the buses? I don't know anything about mechanics, but I could probably help you fix the buses. Do you need me to help clean? You help? I can do anything you need, Pastor. I can be there for you. And God saw that and then promoted him to being a leader. For 40 years, he served under Moses in the wilderness. But you don't understand, Pastor. I've been here 2 months. I've got to have a title. Master Floor Sweeper. That's your new title. I remember growing up, of course, my mom and dad, my dad being a pastor, being very busy and obviously in the office quite a bit. And I'd go over there and, Dad, Mom wants me to do this. And he said, well, do you enjoy eating? I enjoy eating. It's like, yeah. So do you enjoy living in our house? Oh, yeah, I love it. Got my own room, kicked my brother out. He's off of college now. Well, do you enjoy the clothes that you have? Oh, yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks. So, well, do you enjoy having life? Yeah. He said, well, I can take that away from you if you'd like. Okay, Dad, I won't complain anymore. You know, I didn't need to have some special title growing up in my house. I just needed to obey Mom and Dad. And many children of God, we seek for a title. And all God wants us to do is serve. You say, well, you know, Pastor, I don't have that much ability. I don't think Joshua was a great orator. I mean, when he was criticized for rebuilding the wall, he basically turned around and said, hey, if you think you can do better, why don't you come up here? If you think you can do better, let me see you try. He was willing to serve. He was known as Moses' assistant, Moses' servant. He was willing to serve the man of God. And because of that, God made him a great leader. We see in Exodus chapter 33, Exodus chapter 33, and I'll read it. You don't have to turn there just for sake of time. Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 11. Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 11, the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. He was willing to stay with the man of God. And it's encouraging to see the aged ones being willing to stay with the man of God. Amen. Those that maybe have gone through a little valleys, maybe some mountains, but a whole lot of valleys. And being willing to stay with the house of God and with the man of God and being willing to serve and do whatever task it may be, how much are we willing to do the same? Joshua said, you know what, Pastor? I'm here for you. Moses, whatever you need. You're going to go meet with God? I'll be waiting. He maybe even grabbed a broom, maybe even got some Windex, started cleaning the windows, maybe got a little Swiffer and started, you know, dusting everything off. He was willing to serve. He just wanted to be close to the man of God. He was a man of humility. Great leaders are people who have no problem serving others. They don't need the ultimate title. Now, I know the sound man always gets a hard time, but everybody wants the job until the sound goes bad. Like, man, I really wish I could sit back there and play video games. And what else you read? I saw the sports page go up for a second, but then it dropped back down. But everybody wants the title, but when things go wrong, it's, you know, Pastor, it was them right over there. Like all the guys over here, when something goes wrong, they're pointing to the girls over here. Nobody wants to be criticized when something goes bad. But a leader is willing to serve. Second of all, we see that Joshua was a man of faith and trust in God. That's hard. Now, oftentimes we get up and if we stand behind the pulpit or we stand up in a class and we have faith in God and we tell our children, all right, we're going through this difficulty and let's have faith and let's do this. But inside we're going, I don't know how in the world we're going to get this done. Pastor, I'm sure even at this property, and I'm not sure when you came what the properties were, but probably even adding some buildings or adding some buses or adding remodeling different things, I'm sure it was difficult. Saying, all right, people, this is what we're going to do. I have no clue how we're going to do it, but this is what we're going to do. To have that faith and trust in God and know that He will come through. My wife and I, we have two children. And a six-year-old and a three-year-old. And many of you are laughing because you probably have older children now, and I'm at the beginning stages. And I know that I need faith in God. Because I cannot raise those children. My wife and I, we cannot raise those children on our own. Especially in a day and age where the devil is an attack, not just on the children, but the entire family. I need faith and trust in God that, you know what, He's going to have the right mate for them. It gets scary. It gets scary knowing that one day my son's going to go off and marry a young lady. And my daughter's going to go, well, I don't think my daughter's going to get married. She's not allowed to. She's three. She's going to marry daddy right now, all right? But it's scary to know that I've got to have faith and trust that God's going to bring the right people across their path. And if I've got to have faith and trust in God, just as Joshua did, he was willing to serve. He was willing to be a man of humility, be a man that had the faith and trust to move the mountains, to cross the sea, to build the wall, even when everybody else was against him. Joshua was willing to serve. He was a man of faith and trust. Joshua demonstrated this when he sent the spy out to the land. 10 of the 12 spies demonstrated their lack of faith. And because of this, who were the only two that came back? Caleb and Joshua. He said, you know what? We can do this. We can take this city on. Oh, no, we can't. It's too hard. Did you see the difficulties over there? Did you see the men over there? They were huge. Did you see the difficulties just even getting into the land? Caleb and Joshua said, yeah, but who's on our side? Did you forget the same God that brought us through the river, that brought us through the sea, is the same God that can take over this land? Did you forget about the same God that brought us through the valley and that fed us and that protected us and that gave us food when we needed? Did you forget about that God? I think He's still around. I think He can give us that promised land. Joshua knew there was a faith and a trust in God that not just he needed, but that everyone else needed as well. He demonstrated this in the fall of Jericho. Joshua chapter 6 and verse number 1. The Bible tells us, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down, shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. He realized that it was going to take faith and trust in God to cause this wall to come down. It was going to take faith and trust in God. He knew as he was explaining to the people, All right, understand this. Are you ready? We're gonna go up to this wall. I know it's really big. It's a huge wall. It's pretty thick. We're going to walk around it. Okay? And then after several days, we're going to walk around it 7 more times, and then we're going to blow a horn, and it's going to come down. Are y'all with me? Let's go. And I'm sure as he's walking towards the wall, everyone else behind him is going, This guy is nuts. There's something wrong with this man. I mean, have we really been in the desert that long? Has the heat got to him? Has he eaten too much crow or too much raven? What is going on? There's something wrong with this man. But they had faith and trust in this man because he had faith and trust in God. And you have a man of God that has faith and trust to do great things. But you've got to be able to willing, you've got to be willing to have the faith and trust in God that your pastor has as well. We see number three, he was a man of God's word. He was a man of God's word. We see that he was a man of humility, a man of faith and trust in God. And we see that he was a man of God's word. His success was directly related to his adherence to the word of God. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 7. If you look with me at Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 7. You understand the people of God had been through some valleys. They had been through some difficult times. They had been through some heartaches, and maybe even some of their loved ones have passed on. And here it is, they were just looking for something mighty to happen in their life. They were looking for something drastic. Verse number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. And I can imagine as Joshua began to explain that and began to proclaim that to the people, maybe even hear a few people in the background murmuring, Yeah, but what about this, Joshua? Hey, you promised us this land. How come we don't have it yet? Hey, how come we're still eating the same stuff over and over again, Joshua? Hey, how come we're still relying off the man of God from the past? Joshua had to be a man of God's word because he knew he could not have the faith and trust in God. He had to rely on a God that could get him through the valleys and get him through the hard times. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He said, don't rely on me, people. Don't rely on my confidence. Don't rely on my faith. You need to find faith and trust in God in His Word. And we can rely a lot off the pastor's preaching, but it must be our responsibility to open God's Word and get His truths. We must rely on what God has given us. And God has given us a great book that we can read and that we can take home. I'm sure that you hear testimony after testimony from your missionaries. How many of them, even in some of the communist nations that and communist countries that they are ministering in, that the people of God aren't even allowed to have a copy of the Word of God. Or they're only able to have a few pages, or they're only able to have a book and they've got to hide it. We have the honor and privilege to not just have one copy. Many of us probably have two and three and four and five copies. And God's given us a precious word that we can open up on a daily basis. And yet sometimes it sits on a shelf and gathers dust. Or maybe the only time that we open it is on a Sunday morning in a Sunday school or a Wednesday evening in a Bible study. God's given us this book for a purpose and for a reason. And Joshua knew that it wasn't going to be in his might. It wasn't going to be in his abilities. It was going to be on God's abilities and his alone. He was a man of God's word. To ensure this, he said, we must meditate on it. In verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. He said, people, you've got to get in this book. I understand you're looking for a leader. You're looking for someone to follow. But you know what? The person you need to follow is right here in this book. And we can follow every whim of the world. We can follow every advertisement on TV. But if we're not willing to get into God's word, we will be lost as children of God. If we want to find God's will for our life, or if we want to find the direction that God has for us, our answers that God wants for us, we must find it in God's word. And Joshua knew that to give to his people. Joshua was a man of God's word. Not only that, but we see that time and time again, Joshua was true to this word. Joshua didn't have to rely on what had been done in the past. He knew that God had a future for the children of Israel. And the only way that that was going to happen is if he, as the leader, was willing to forge the path to that. And it was only going to be by the might and power of God's word. Verse number 12, Joshua chapter 1, verse number 12, and to the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you, and on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. God has given us a path. God has given us a direction. God has given us a will for our life. But we've got to be willing to follow. We've got to be willing to follow the man of God. We've got to be willing to follow our leaders. We've got to be willing to follow God's word in our life. We've got to be willing to be humble and to trust and have faith and trust in an almighty God. Faith comes from the word of God, as we see in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, Pastor, I'm not sure I know what to do. I'm not sure I know what direction to head. We'd probably start with Sunday school. Well, I'm not sure what I should do with my family, and I'm not sure what I should do in this situation. Probably start with Sunday morning church, Sunday night church. Wednesday night Bible study. Pastor, I believe that's when you guys have Bible study Wednesday night. We could probably start with that. Start being faithful to the house of God, to the things of God, whether it be soul winning or youth activities or whatever it may be that God has going on. My parents always used to tease that we would be in the house, we would be at church 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Something was going on, whether it was a cleanup day or youth activity or a bus meeting or soul winning on Tuesdays or soul winning on Saturdays or church all day Sunday. Church all the time. I love church. I enjoy the things at church. I enjoy the singing at church. I enjoy the people that are at church. I enjoy watching people sleep at church. That's what keeps me awake. As a pastor's kid, let's just say as a pastor's kid, we've probably gotten probably a little bit too much trouble. And they always put us on the front row so mom would watch us. And I think maybe to be an example to all the other kids around. But we were not a good example. I have an older brother. He's 2 years older than I am. And I have a younger sister that's 10 years younger. And I'm telling you, I got in a lot of trouble. And I remember many times turning around and looking back and mom giving me the eye of, you know, when you get home, something's going to happen. Sometimes she didn't wait till we got home. I remember me and a friend of mine, we were messing around in our church in Missouri. There was a hallway behind the baptistry. And I guess we were being so loud that you could hear us inside the church. And I think it was either during the, not invitation time, but during the singing or announcements. And I remember my mom coming back there. And I'm telling you, I never forgot that. And I knew that, you know what? What goes on in church is important. And if I'm going to distract that, my mom's going to make sure that I know that ain't going to happen again, son. I love church. I love to hear the people of God sing. I love to hear the man of God stand behind the pulpit and preach his word. We must remain faithful to the house of God. And lastly, we see that Joshua was a man who put God first. Joshua was a man that put God first before his business. Now understand, we have to survive. We have to make a living. When I worked for my dad for 8 years as a youth pastor, I worked an outside job Monday through Friday, and I did construction. I did. I worked in a flooring company. I worked for UPS and for FedEx for a little bit. And I understand you have to make a living. But I understood that, you know what, growing up in my mom and dad's home, Sunday morning, you don't work. Sunday night, you don't work. Wednesday night, well, other than when I was in Bible college, I didn't work. And I understand some of you may have to because of your job. But things of God were important. When I was a teenager, I tried to work as much as I could and sometimes two jobs. But when teen soul winning was going on or when Sunday night church or Wednesday night church, I was there. If not, my mom was coming to get me. She said, you ain't going to miss the house of God. You ain't going to miss the preaching. Why? Because it was important. And my parents made sure that I put the things of God first. Because if we put the things of God first, he's going to give the increase. If we put the things of God first, he's going to give us the ability to raise our children the way that we need to. If we put God first, he's going to raise that business up to make enough money to help to support the work of God. If we put God first, he's going to be able to raise up a next generation that will be able to help the Blessed Hope Baptist Church continue on. We must put God first. Even in the middle of a military battle, Joshua was willing to put God first. Even when everyone else around him was mocking him and laughing at him and saying it can't be done, he still put God first. Joshua put God first in every part of his life. He even put it before others. Joshua chapter 24, verse 16, and I'll read it for you. Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 16, the Bible says, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. God's people said that. It wasn't Joshua. It wasn't him saying, okay, this is how I need you to respond to him, okay? This is what I need you to say. It's going to sound really good and make me look good. The people of God said, why should we leave and serve other gods? Why should we leave and go to another church? Why should we leave the ministry that God's given us and go somewhere else? He said, I know what God has put in my life. And I want to keep it as number one. I want to keep it in the priorities it needs to be. Joshua was willing to put God first. We see that Joshua was a man of humility, humble before God, a man of faith and trust in God, a man of God's word, a man of prayer, and a man that put God first. Are we willing to do the same? We want a great nation. We want a tremendous family and a loving family and a God-honoring and God-fearing family. We want a business that's strong and can withstand some of the hard times in life. We want a life that's honoring and pleasing to God. But we must look to the qualities of Joshua and apply those to our own and be willing to say, you know what, God, this is what I want for me. Moses was great and did some great and mighty works. But you know what? It's my generation. The men of the past have done some great and mighty works through independent fundamental Baptist churches. But you know what? It's my job and it's my responsibility to continue that on. And I must be a man that's humble. Must be a man that is after God's word and faith and prayer and must be a man of God that puts him first. Will we do the same? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you, live for you. I just pray that you'd bless us this morning as the main service is here just in a little bit. Pray that you bless the pastor as he preaches, fill him with your spirit and your power, that we leave from here a better Christian, a better servant for you. We love you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.